Hey, can you hear me?
Hey, buddy. I can hear you.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Coming to you all from the Flex Fox Fantasy Studios in Holland Landing, Ontario. This is the season premiere of the weekly show. I'm WizKid Jeremiah Johnson, and I have with you all tonight, and myself, a very special guest, the 2023 reigning, defending Flex Fox Fantasy Champion of the World, Ryan Neeson. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Thank you for the nice introduction. Looking forward to the podcast.
Absolutely. Now, can you confirm what everyone in the league is dying to know? Do you have the belt in your possession?
Unfortunately, I do not have the belt yet, but I'm sure league management is working tirelessly to get me the belt as soon as possible.
So that's pretty disgraceful. I mean, what? You've been champ now for, I don't know, like 4 months now? 5 months? Nothing?
Yeah, I think I'd be lucky to have it for maybe, you know, a cottage weekend for a few months before the next champion gets it. So, you know, it's a bit unfortunate. Obviously, the distance and time and everything, you know, kind of, it's understandable, but I do want the belt, but I guess the prize is the big thing and the recognition.
Now, do you think Nick's just, like, failed to hand it over or what? Do you have any theories on this?
Oh, well, you know, the belt's a prized possession, you know. Sometimes, like, the one ring in Gollum, you know, you just don't want to give it up. And, you know, I guess league management isn't trying hard enough.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can all agree Nick won't be seeing the belt for a long time. So I don't blame him for not wanting to give it up.
That's okay. He can keep using it for whatever he's using it for. And then hopefully at cottage weekend I'll get it. That's the main thing.
Well, to keep this podcast PG so we don't get canceled, as the kids say, you know, it's been a crazy off season. There's a lot to recap and we obviously don't have time to do all of that today. So what I think we're going to try to do is we're going to try to hit some high points, some low points, have a chit chat about the off season, preview the season as best we possibly can, and then get into the week one matchups. So, maybe this is out of order, but I think it's the most interesting question that we can talk the most about. And so, I'm interested in your take on who you think right now, if the playoffs, if you had to pick the playoff teams, who you would pick?
Good question. In my point of view, I think there's six teams to me that are clear-cut playoff teams. And that'd be in no particular order, myself, Adam, you, Richard, RKR, obviously, Garth Newton, and Aiden. So to me, those are like the six horsemen of this league. They are, to me, above most other teams. And then I have two teams I'm going to mention that might surprise some people. For seven, I would go Jeffrey Chow, only because I think his team does have some good building blocks, and I think he's a good manager, and I think he can pull up the trades to sneak into that 7-8 spot. I don't think it's that strong of like a competition between like 7 to 12, where like it's not possible for him to jump into there. And then the other team is Tyler, or Ash's old team. As long as Tyler actively sets the roster, maybe makes a few trades, like Ash left the carcass of a good team, you know. I think it's always been the thing of like Ash had good players, just like he wasn't an active manager or wasn't really taking the next steps to become a top team. But like I was curious how Tyler would do, so I'm hoping that it's going to be a competitive team because it does have some good pieces, and I do like pitching a lot too.
No, it's really interesting. I mean, there's a lot to unpack there. Now, I obviously we discussed power rankings. My power rankings will be coming out this week at some point, and obviously you've seen those, and I don't know if that colors your perception, but. Two of those teams you mentioned, I don't agree with you on, but the other, I guess the other six, the other five, sorry, I'm fairly in agreement with. I want to focus on, so the first, I think the first four or five that you mentioned, so you mentioned yourself, you mentioned Flex, myself, and RKR.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, you know, how I see a top four or five. Like I would put Aiden in that group as well. I know you didn't mention him.
So I did. I'm curious. Six. He was six.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You didn't mention him. Yeah. So I'm curious, like, if you have an order of these teams. I mean, I obviously don't think it's shocking news to put you at the top of the list, because I do think you're the best team in the league. And I think many people would agree with that. But do you agree with that? You see yourself as the top.
In terms of being the best team in the league, I and maybe we'll talk about it a bit later, is I definitely think I made myself a little weaker to potentially be better long-term. This league is constantly about renewal. I think you'll agree with that almost to a extreme extent, where you have to continue to make deals, get younger, get older, get better. You like, if you look at my teams in the last 8 years, and you might say, well, Ryan's always had a good team, like, you know, like, but you look at every single roster for the last 8 years, and they're almost all different. There is no one left from my championship roster in 2019. And that might not feel like that long ago, but it was 5 years ago, obviously. But, like, it just constantly about making smart decisions and the right moves at the right time. And so myself, I think my backs clearly make me close to where I was last year. So still the top team in the league. But there's more competition this year. And I do think the league is a bit more top-heavy than it used to be maybe last year. But that's not to say that teams can't surprise, right? But as of now, I'm looking at the rosters, I'm like, it's a little top-heavy than maybe we've seen in previous years.
No, I mean, I would agree. I would 100% agree with that. I would agree that you're the top team too. I mean, we've had discussions about this on Slack and elsewhere, and I think that's not news. I do agree with you generally. I think you have weakened your pitching staff in that name of renewal, but that's not necessarily going to be the case like for a full season. We don't know yet. We don't have the data. All we have is the paper. So that's fair. What I'm curious about, I guess, so I want to move on to Flex's team, because I view Flex pretty highly. I think everybody knows that. I've put him as a dark horse or my pick to win the championship this year. I think he's been a lot better. He obviously added Yoshinobu, or I can't say his name. We'll just go with Yamamoto for now. Yoshinobu Yamamoto for free, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Great for LM to rig the minor league draft for him. That's fantastic. But, I mean, we've talked, I know you're a little skeptical of his bats. What's your take on Flex? Like, does he deserve to be in the top of that tier with you? Is he what you consider to be your biggest rival?
I would say he deserves to be. To me, he is, I would say, top three.
Okay.
He is definitely the most improved team by far. Yeah. Obviously, I don't think it was really through great trades or even, like, maybe, like, getting ninth place and getting the picks was good management, but like he hasn't really done too much besides being handed the number one minor league picks in both the high minor and low minor, the number one pick in the major league draft, and the number one waiver selection this year. So, you know, like the benefits just keep on rolling for this guy. It's a good team. I think he did a good job the last 4 years collecting young talent. Some of it just got, you know, it kind of handed to him. But, you know, I'm excited to see Adam as a top team again. I joined the league. He was like the God Emperor of the regular season, at least. So it's kind of nice to see him get back to where, maybe close to where he used to be. But definitely, like, I think his team, his pitching staff is really good. And as I said, his bats are hit or miss right now. But, like, he has the prospects to make the trades. So, you know, I don't think a lot of these teams are going to look the same after the deadline. So we'll see what happens.
Right.
I, you know, as long as Adam doesn't somehow start off bad and tank a season, I think he's going to be a really good team. And you know, good management's a big part of that in season.
Yeah, I mean, so look, I think Adam's got great pitching. I think we can agree on that. I think Adam, like we've kind of discussed on Slack, needs a bat here and there. I think the hard part for Adam is actually, so he's been rebuilding, like you've mentioned, for a long time. He's gotten the picks that he needed, kind of lucky that way, the prospects, what have you. But he's really at the point where he needs to make trades to get the finishing touches on. And I don't think this is a hot take, but I think he's hyper cautious out of maybe a fear of making a mistake with those trades. I don't know. But I think that's going to be the proving ground for him. Can he make the deals that he needs to make to get a closer, to get, you know, a second baseman, to get this or that, to finish off his team? Because if he can, I think he emerges as one of your top threats. But if he can't, it might be difficult, right? Because you did mention he has prospects to trade. That's true. But which ones do you trade? Which ones do you hold on to? Those are all decisions you have to make as a manager. You're well aware of that, obviously. But you know, it's easy to mess it up. So, yeah, to put a ball on the flex thing, I agree, Johnny, with what you're saying, but it's going to be interesting to see if Adam can make the right moves, press the right buttons.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree.
So let's move on. Let's move on to RKR, because RKR took a lot of heat for the recent deals he's made on Slack. People don't seem to like those deals for him, but you know what? Like, I actually like what he's done with his pitching staff. I think it's one of the best pitching staffs in the league. Maybe the best, actually. Do you think he can, like, he shifted the weight of his team from, like, maybe more bats and less pitching to just predominantly pitching. Do you think he can win that way?
I think he'd have a nice balance of both, because in the playoffs, you know, anything can happen. Pitching, right. Basically, you're aiming for that quality start. So even if you have a really good pitching staff, potentially, mm-hmm. I remember one week in the playoffs, maybe 2 years ago, I had, like, six guys close to 400 points. And in the first week of the playoffs, I had like one quality start. So yeah, like, I think bats maybe are a little more consistent, like star bats are a little more consistent than like right. top 30 to 40 pitchers. Like I think only like the cream of the crop starting pitchers, like Shane McClanahan when healthy, for instance, mm-hmm. would be that consistent. But I do like the moves. I'm definitely higher on that trade, and maybe we'll talk about that one a bit in a bit, but I'm definitely higher in that trade than other people, because I don't think people are looking at the long-term value
right.
of what that trade brought in. It's potentially right. two-fourths of a solid infield the next 6-7 years. And, you know, mm-hmm. you can never really value too much on the future, like thinking like that. But, like, I mm-hmm. like those pieces. You know, Joe Ryan and Shane Bieber had a good start to the season. He went to Driveline. His velocity is up. He's not even that old. Mm-hmm. You would think he's like 35 for how long I've heard of this guy. No, but like, he's 29, yeah. I think. So
28.
Jesus. Yeah, that's crazy. So
yeah, 28.
I definitely don't think this is the downfall of RKR. And I don't think that the bottom 10 teams are even close to sniffing him. He could drop yeah. two of his best players and still be, in my view, a playoff team. So like I think that yeah his downfall's maybe been a bit exaggerated. I see him clearly in the top six, like no doubt in the top eight, but obviously I think you shared on Slack like 10 minutes ago that Josh Young got hurt, so
yeah
you know yeah, injuries great. Can happen and you never know. It's just luck of the draw.
Yeah, no, I agree with pretty much everything you say. Not a ton to add. I want to move on. So Aiden, I mean, Aiden to me and RKR are very similar. Like they're pitching heavy teams mm-hmm. that have some holes with the bats. I think Aiden's pitching is worse than RKR's pitching, but I do think his bats have a little bit more thump. You're talking like Pete Alonso, mm-hmm. Mike Trout while he has them. Isak Paredes is kind of underrated. So Aiden's got some bats. Like I think it's more of an even split like you're talking about. But you sound like you prefer RKR's team still. So what holds Aiden back from being on that level with RKR?
I don't think Aiden is that far off from RKR at all. I think if I was okay. like going to take over one of the two teams, I'd probably prefer RKR's just because maybe it's a bit younger. Yeah. But I don't think I think one or two good trades from Aiden. I was looking at his roster. I don't think Mike Trout really fits there. Also, he's getting older now, so. I'm curious, and I was even talking to Aiden about this like a week ago. I'm curious what he can do with Mike Trout. And if he can flip Mike Trout into the pieces he needs rather than a guy who potentially like, going to bench Mike Trout, but he's going to bench a good bat one way or the other. So, you know, by trading the excess and getting value that helps your team, I think that that's a big thing that Aiden has to do. So I'm curious how he pulls that one off.
Yeah, and I mean, to his credit, like I want to highlight this because it goes kind of underappreciated, and that's Aiden actually is good at developing prospects, right? So Aiden graduated Bobby Miller last year. He's going to graduate, I presume, Jackson Merrill this year. Those are two really good important pieces, right? And Jackson Merrill could be a different figure with the bat. He's going to have shortstop and center field eligibility at some point. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Like, I think Aiden gets a lot of flack for the fact that maybe he's not the easiest person to trade with, and I think that's a valid criticism. But I think at the same time, you know, he's good at developing his prospects. He knows what they're worth, and he is good at adding those pieces to his team. So, yeah, I think him and RKR are both similar in that regard, and I think they're both strong contenders. I want to lump the two teams that you added together because I actually am lower on them than you. And that those are two teams are Garth Newton and Tillo.
So, no, I accidentally mentioned Tillo. I meant RKR, not Tillo.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm much lower on Tillo, and I am much lower on Garth Newton than you. So I guess we can focus on him.
Mm-hmm.
I am lower on him than you are because I just think the bats are a big question mark, right? Like, I like the bats. Like, I like, you know, Henry Davis and Christian Encarnacion Strand. And,
yeah,
you know, but there's question marks with those guys, right? There's question marks with Starling Marte and, you know, Luis Campusano. And his pitching is old. Like, if we look at it, like, it is kind of old and it's kind of injury prone, right? Like, Charlie Morton is old. Tyler Glasnow is injury prone.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of concerns there for me. Why not so much for you?
I think it just comes down to the fact that every year we doubt Garth Newton, or at least some people doubt Garth Newton. And, like, every year he's our top five team. He is invested in the league. He'll make that Sunday starter ad that, you know, that, mm-hmm. that puts him over the edge. Or he'll actually do some scouting and make at least a few trades that maybe balance his roster out or make him better for that year. He did some all-in trades last year. I wouldn't say by, like, you know, if you gave a random person on Reddit, in the fantasy baseball Reddit, like, his roster and said, hey, what do you think of his roster in a 20-team league? I don't think that person would be blown away and be like, wow, that's a top, you know, that's a top team in the league. But I believe in the manager. I believe in the – and you know what's so funny is, like, Garth and I, like, never agree on trades. Like, whenever I ask him his opinion on anything, basically, like – he'll always disagree. Like there's like one trade the last month that I made that he was like, I like that move. And I was like shocked. Cause I'm like, dude, you never like my moves. So like, you know, we have a very different management style, and it's a testament to him that like, we don't really agree on much, but he's still always a good team. So yeah, like obviously Charlie Morton's old, Glasnow is, you know, always injury prone, maybe not the greatest fantasy asset in terms of helping you every single week. But I believe the fact that he's definitely going to be a playoff team this year.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm going to throw two teams, one you agreed with me on. So Chow, I agree with you. I think Chow is, he's got some good pieces still, man, like despite what people want to say. But I'm going to throw another team in there. And I'm putting them together here because I view their managers as just elite-level managers, and I think we need to give them the benefit of the doubt until we see otherwise. So I'm going to add the Squirtle Squad into that group of Chow. Because I just think they're very strong managers. You know, Ronel Blanco sitting on their bench for a no-hitter aside, I think they're very good managers. So I think Chow and the squad, until we see more data, have to be considered playoff teams. I think they both have strong pieces. They both have holes. Tell me, you know, if you had to pick one to make the playoffs, who are you picking and why?
I think Squirtle Squad might have been a mission that maybe I didn't think through. I looked at their roster a few days ago. I was wondering, like, is this a team I was like scared to play in the playoffs last year? Like, I'm a bit confused by it. But like you mentioned before, like, they always are competitive. You know, they're almost just like Garth. You know, they're always in it. They're surely going to make some trades. I don't think their prospect list is as impressive as maybe it was. They traded away a lot of good prospects for maybe last year's run. I still think Wheeler is probably a top five pitcher in baseball. And if you look at advanced analytics, like, some people argue he's the best pitcher in baseball. So, you know, they still have a good team. Maybe not the most, you know, in terms of like, if you look at like the percentage owned, or if you look at like just bare stats, like, is it the most impressive team? No, but like, they're always competitive. You never want to face them in a matchup. They've given me so much grief for years, and you know, it is what it is. So I think they were overset on my part from that list, but I definitely think they're in the mix for the top eight, 100%, and it wouldn't surprise me if they were top six.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm with you on all that. What's your take on Cole Reagans? Because I'm very high on Cole Reagans personally. I think he's a top 15 pitcher. I think he's got great strikeout upside. Obviously, the sample size is small. We don't know if he's like quote unquote legit. I think he is. What do you think?
I think that he is a legitimate top 35, 40 pitcher. I'm not sure if he's like a top 20 pitcher like he was performing late last year.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he's still young. He had some prospect pedigree. I owned him last year when he was on the Rangers, and I remember, like, I was, like, I was looking him up because his advanced stuff on StatCast is pretty good. And then I remember he got blown up, and, like, he was just a relief guy at the time, and he got blown up for, like, 5 or 4 in runs, and I was like, oh, this guy stinks, and I dropped him. And then, you know, like, a few months later, he gets traded to Kansas City, and, you know, oh, he's not the best pitcher in baseball. I don't know how Squirrel Squad do it. I guess they added Blanco, too, and somehow he is, like, throwing a no-hitter after having some terrible numbers last year. So, you know,
I don't know.
I think they have a good eye for talent. I've worked the last few years to try and, like, develop what they do in terms of, like, you know, looking at a bunch of sources, maybe more obscure people. Because obviously this is a deep, deep league, right? Like, we're not, like it's almost crazy when I see people play, like, a 10-team MLB, like, a full, not AL, NL only, like, a full MLB roster. Like, how is that fun? You're just picking star players. Like, it's just, like, I need the deep research to have fun now. And yeah, they do that as well. And, I definitely think they do a good job, with Cole Reagans. I think he's going to be good. I'm hopefully, for, like, all of our sake, he's not, like, as good as he was showing last year. Cause, you know, the consistent quality starts was kind of annoying, still on a bit of a bad team. So maybe not like the most terrifying pitcher to play against, but, I think he's good.
Well, to put a wrap on this, I mean, I don't want to keep singing the squad's praises because their heads are going to get bigger than they already are. But, I mean, I'm with you. If we had to pick one, I'm going to pick the squad because I think Chow is still up in the air on what he wants to do. He might rebuild. He might retool. He might, you know, get more talent. I don't know. But the squad is clearly all in. Clearly, good eye for talent, as we've outlined here. So, not going to bet against him until I have reason to do so otherwise. But let's move on. I mean, much time on the draft. I know that it's, you know, in the rear view firmly. So was there any picks from the draft that stood out to you as picks that were kind of sharp, picks that were good, guys you wish you had gotten? Just anything from the draft pick-wise that kind of impressed you?
Yeah, from the draft, I think Graham set himself up extremely well for the draft. Obviously, getting, I think, was the number 2 pick off Nick. It's really unfortunate.
Reynolds,
like, Matt McClain should have not been anywhere near this draft. Like, he should have been a keeper for sure.
Right.
It's just crazy how, like, he's drafted 2nd overall, I believe, and then a week later, he's potentially out for the season. So, it just you never win the fantasy league at the draft, right? Like, you might even get the best player, like Graham did, and then that shit happens. So, unfortunate. I thought his other pick, Jordan Walker, was a really good pick as well. I don't know how he was not kept. I think it was Garth McKinnis who didn't keep him.
Yeah.
I was shocked when I saw him available. I had the number 6 pick. I was, like, tempted to keep that pick just potentially to get Jordan Walker, but I don't really need a right field, so I was kind of okay to move it, and he wouldn't have dropped there anyways. But yeah, I was like, damn, Graham had a really good draft. He got some good relievers too that you know, it's always sad you're crossing off guys off your list as, you know, your pick hasn't even come yet. So, I think Graham had a good draft. I'm not sure that translates to having a good season. As you mentioned before, McClain's already hurt. You know, obviously all the good relievers that, like, I have my eye on, they went where they're supposed to go.
Yep.
So it's tough to really, like, you know, say, you know, Yennier Cano in the 1st round is a great pick when, you know, he probably belongs there. But I would say, like, to me, when I was, like, looking at the draft and seeing who's available, obviously, like, you know, Adam got the best player. I thought that RKR made a good move to move up, and maybe he, you know, traded some depth that he didn't really need. But, I would say the winner of the draft would be Graham. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I you know what, despite the injury, I don't think Matt McClain's going to be out all year. But despite the injury, I think McClain and Walker are, like, firm building blocks for him. Like, mm-hmm. He's going to keep both those guys. They're not going to be in the draft next year.
Nope.
McClain is a stud, man. Like, if you think about the fact that he gave up Reynolds for McClain, like, I'd do that all day. You know, so I love those picks. Shout out two other picks I really liked. So Ryan Pepiot was picked by RKR. I love that pick. I think like the Rays, anytime the Rays go after a guy, like they know what they're doing, man. They're here to pick up guys and they see gems that no one else sees. I'm a firm believer that Pepiot is going to have a good year. He's going to be RPSP, and I think that's a great pick. That was a Newt Barr pick, I believe, that he got off you. So I think that's good use of the pick. And I hate this. Everyone knows how much I hate Chris, but I have to shout out his Shota Imanaga pick because I think that's a fantastic pick as well. Imanaga pitched today, was outstanding. I think he's going to strike out a lot more people than people think. Fun fact, actually, he had more, like a higher strikeout percentage in Japanese baseball than Yamamoto did. Better stuff plus in the World Baseball Classic than Yamamoto. So I think he's going to surprise people, man. Like people think he's a control artist. I mean, he's got good control, but he's going to strike people out. He had 10 strikeouts today.
Yeah.
So great pick by Chris. Those are my kind of like highlights, I guess.
Yeah, if you have a top five pick, you know, theoretically, this is probably the best draft I've seen to have a top five pick in because you're guaranteed, almost guaranteed to get a keeper level player, right? So I think that, I think RKR, like you mentioned, had a good draft as well.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's move on to the off season. So we had a bunch of trades go down, I guess, prior to the start of season today. So I want to get off you, and we can talk about these separately, but I want to get off you your best, like the best deal you saw someone make and the worst deal you saw someone make. Whatever you prefer to talk about first, but yeah, best or worst deal. What do you think?
I think the best deal was, or like maybe not the best, but the most game changing deal that I saw this off season. Cause I think it was kind of a slow off season until maybe, February, March. Is obviously the one you made with RKR, where you got Lodolo, Cruz, Bellinger, and Riley, and you gave up Young, Ryan, Bieber, and Cassis. To me, that's like swapping cores almost. Like the level of player, the level of like really like you're making a game changing trade there. I would say that was the biggest trade. And was it the best trade for one of you? It's hard for me to say because I mentioned before I liked that trade for RKR, but I did like it a lot for you as well. It really solidified your team in terms of having really good bats. I know that I gave you some pitching. Then you turned around and gave me Lodolo for more pitching. So, I think that like you use that trade well. You know, like this is the kind of thing that like I love fantasy. You didn't give him a ton of futures for star players. It was good players for good players. And that's the kind of fun trade you want to do. And sometimes I like even like think like, you know what, like I should make my like stud bats more available if you can make a fun trade like that where like, you know, I can touch my best players but also get some good players in return. Because like it's tough when you're only offering like futures. So I respect that you made a good chunk of your core. I know Cassis, you have high faith in. I know I loved him last year. You know, so for you to make that level of trade, I respect it on both your sides. But that is definitely the biggest trade, I would say.
Yeah, and I mean, like, RKR got a lot of shit on Slack for that move, right? Like, Ben was at him. Everyone was kind of voting against him on the trade. I mean, we've talked about it since, RKR and I think there's like a large pathway where both people leave this trade happy, right? Like, I think for RKR, like, he gets Bieber and Ryan, who are both like Bieber's in his prime, man. He's 28, turning 29. Joe Ryan is young. They're top 30-ish pitchers, both of them. Like, they're going to fill out his rotation when he's adding them to Grayson Rodriguez and guys like that. And they're going to be good, right? Cassis is going to be good. Josh Young, like, no one thought he was going to fracture his wrist, right? And he was, man, the thing that sucks about Josh Young, man, is he was on a fucking heater before he fractured his wrist. He always is. He last year, too, man, he was really good, gets hurt, and then he's just, like, no good to anyone. If Josh Young can stay healthy, man, and he has had freak accidents, he's a good player. And I got good players back, too, obviously, right? Riley is great. Romeo Cruz is great. You know, Cody Bellinger is good to great, depending on your view of him. Like, I think it worked well for both of our teams. I shifted more to bats. He shifted more to pitching. But we could both win and both be top teams that make deep playoff runs. And I think that would be great for everybody. So yeah, I agree with you. I think those moves are like really fun, and they're the things that like get you going because you're like, man, I'm making a big change. But it also has to be cool, like to put this back on you. Like, it also has to be cool to have such a great core of bats that you're like, I don't need to do anything. Like, maybe it's boring, but it's also like relaxing.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why I decided to make some changes in my pitching. Like, I think maybe I'll go into a bit more in detail. But like, the biggest thing for me was that like, no one really wants to move young pitching, right? It's hard enough to get old pitching in this league, like MLB quality young pitching. No one will move. But to me, young, potentially close to the major pitching, is way more readily available. So, like, just to have a bit of a mini pitching rebuild, I definitely don't think that I left myself no pitching at all. This is why I made sure I, you know, have Sonny Gray, I have Verlander, I have legitimate players who, like, maybe aren't, like, the most amazing pitchers in the world, but at least they'll fill in my rotation until, you know, a guy like Jared Jones, who you and I've talked about forever now, and now all of a sudden he's, like, the biggest, you know, rookie in baseball. Yeah. So, that's kind of the fun part, is I was getting kind of bored of like not being able to make moves or like thinking my team was done. Yeah. So this is what I'm saying. Like, this is why you play baseball, to negotiate these fun trades. And, you know, I think you and I make a ton of trades, especially recently, where like to us, it's a win-win, right? Like, neither of us want to get bad this season, but like, I enjoy that. Where like, we're discussing ways of like, you know, you want this guy, I think that I can make it work taking whatever I get back, and then we, you know, figure something out.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that those kind of dialogues continue with throughout the season with other league members, because I know like right now it's a bit dead.
No, yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, if we're going to get into this conversation before we move on to the worst trade, I mean, I think we look at your pitching. You shipped out some older guys. You've kind of reshaped the pitching. You've added Kyle Harrison, Nick Lodolo, Jared Jones is kind of waiting in the wings. You're definitely getting younger, and I think with that younger pitching comes risk inherently, because you're not sure. There's no track record of performance to back it up, right? Like, with the older guys, there is that track record, comfort. But with the young guys, there's upside potential, but it comes without a track record. I think you're, like, I think long-term, you're going to be better off than where you started. But right now, obviously, there's more question marks. Yeah, I mean, if there's any commentary you want to throw in on that, like, go right ahead. But I think that's kind of the gist of what your retool pitching-wise looked like.
Yeah, pretty much. I thought that, you know, I have obviously Chris Bassett already. I have Sonny Gray and Justin Verlander. That's 3/6 of an older but good rotation. And in my opinion, Nick Lodolo will come back. He had a really good start last year, last night in AAA. He got 8 strikeouts. Right. He was dealing. Like, he looked really good. So that's kind of the fun part. Obviously, we're in Dynasty. It is fun to get some young players in and maybe retool a little bit. I was last year, it felt like I was so focused on perfection, where, like, this year, I still want to be the best team if I can help it. You know, I still want to be a playoff team. Still want people to be cheesed off when they're playing me each week. So, you know, like, I did not want to somehow, like, destroy my team. But I'm having more fun this year than I had last year. I'll say that. So, I you know, I'm actually watching my young players. I was following along with Reese Olson's start today. That was a fun start. He played really well. So yeah, like it's a nice balance. I think I got my championship last year, which helps. And maybe that's why I'm making, you know, not like super win now moves. I still feel like I have the assets and the managerial ability to make, you know, in maybe like in July or August, those win now moves, if I determine that, you know, it's not working out for one way or the other.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's obviously fair. I think, pitching is just, like, it's really hard to pin down either way. Like, it's not one of those things where you're just, like, always, like, you're just fine. You're going to have to sort through that kind of one way or the other, and it's always in flux. But I think generally you've set yourself up pretty well, and I think, you know, if you can get some sustainable arms, I mean, the rest of the league's going to have to be very cautious of that. So, I mean, do you have a worse trade? Like, do you have a trade that you're like, man, that wasn't great, or... you know, of the off season.
I'm going to be as unbiased as possible here. I would say as of now, the trade that made maybe the least sense at the time, considering where their team was at, was probably me trading you Valdez. It's okay. I was looking at previous trades, and I don't think I really see a trade that does not make sense for the manager. I think trading Valdez, an ace, 400 points last year for, you know, Lodolo and a prospect, or a guy, Andrew Painter, who could be good next year, but he has no effect on my season this year, right?
Right.
I would say, like, it's tough because I'm not sure, maybe if you want to give me an example of a legitimately bad trade that's happened. I haven't seen that many trades that I would say are, like, bad. So I was thinking, like, you know what? I was looking at trades. I'm like, mine made probably the least sense of a team in my position, which I would almost say just de facto becomes the worst trade when I don't think there's really been that many horrific trades. But let me maybe turn it back to you and see if you have any, like, truly bad trades that have happened maybe in the last 4 or 5 months.
Oh man, I didn't even come prepped with that. I should have, but I mean, man, I don't know. Like, I don't think your move is undefensible. I think the value is
good. No, the value, right? Is 100%.
Sometimes you take trade value when it doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense, like structurally for your team. So I think it's justifiable from that perspective. I can think of other deals like that, like the Blackman deal back in the day.
Yeah.
That I made. Like, I can think of deals where it's like, man, like, people look at you and go, what are you doing? Just trying to think of, like, the
trade. Yeah, honestly, I was looking through it. I don't think there's any trades I would say are like you wrecked your team. And then if there's no trades like that, the next step you got to look at is, like, did these trades make sense for the owner? And if you can justify it, then I think it's like, okay, well, it wasn't even a bad trade. And if you can justify it, even better.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, nothing like comes to mind as like egregiously bad. I mean, people might say that RKR deal, but I think we've kind of chatted about
that's the case. Yeah. Maybe not the greatest value. Like, potentially, I'm not sure how negotiations went. Maybe you could have negotiated. Maybe, like, without giving you all those picks, I would say it's probably, I think, I like, to me, it was pretty balanced without those picks. I know you gave them a pretty good prospect as well. But, like, regardless, it's, you know, it's water under the bridge. It's not that big of a deal. And, you know, when you're trading all-stars, like those guys, I don't think picks really matter that much.
I mean, I'm going to go off the board. Like, it's not a trade. I'm going to cheat. I don't think it's a trade. And I talk about this in the power rankings, but I'm, like, genuinely confused. And I think this didn't, like, ruin his team, but it definitely set it back. Like, I'm genuinely confused by Tilo's, like, keeper decisions.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So I like, that's an off the board cheat question, and we, like, you know, we chatted about this a bit, but, like, he kept Justin Henry and Malloy, he kept Addison Barger. I just don't understand those decisions.
Like, and Gasser too, Robert Gasser.
Yeah, like, I don't get these decisions. Like, I think they're honestly, and I don't mean this in, like, an offensive way. So I hope he doesn't take this offensively, but I'm sure, like, you know, anybody who says that comes off as kind of bad. But, like, I think they're almost lazy moves. Like, I see them as, like, you know, like, he basically, like, didn't want to deal with making trades, so he was like, well, I'm gonna just keep these guys instead of, like, reaching out, because, like, he has holes, man. Like, his bats are a problem, and his pitching was and still is good. Like, Cole getting hurt, no one could foresee, but, like, going into the year, his pitching was solid, it was good, top five for sure, a strength of his team, but his bats are, like, a problem, man. And, like, when you don't have a shortstop, you don't have a left field, like, these are things you should just try to trade for, like, or get a pick so you can draft, like, not a Jordan Walker, but, like, you know, some equivalent that can help you. So I don't get the moves. Like, those guys aren't even good prospects. Like, Addison Barr, what was his role on the Jays ever going to be? A backup infielder?
Yeah, he will not be a starter. Okay. That was probably the most egregious one, I would say, of the keepers.
Yeah, like, that's brutally bad. Justin Henry Malloy, like, okay, maybe you thought he was going to start at third base or left field, but he didn't. And should you waste a pick on that? Robert Gasser, same stuff. And, I mean, I get it. Who am I to complain, right? Like, I kept Ethan Salas and Sawyer, Gibson, Long, or whatever. But I offloaded Gibson, Long in a trade, and Salas, you know, like,
it made sense at the time.
I made some trades, and then I dropped him. Tilo, like, if he'd kept those guys, whatever. But then go make some deals. Like, don't just do nothing. And I think that's a big problem for him. Like, I don't see him as a top team anymore, and that's a big part of why.
Yeah, I was confused. I think Robert Gasser, of the three, made the most sense. I think, but I, again, like, from what I did of research on Robert Gasser, like, he is like a number four. Like, he does not really have good velocity. He's not really like a superstar in the making. Where maybe like Salas was like, you know what, maybe he'll be up next year and he'll be a top five fantasy catcher for the next 12 years, 15 years. It made sense to do it, right? Like, Addison, Berger, Malloy, those are guys you draft in like the high minors too. And I would much rather have an MLB talent than, you know, a prospect who probably doesn't deserve to be on your team. And obviously, like, he has two empty holes on his roster right now. So it's tough for, you know, I if I were him, unfortunately, I think Parker Meadows, I think he drafted Parker Meadows. No, that was a really good pick. Parker Meadows, I think he's going to have a breakout season. But just having two guys who, A, aren't in the MLB, and B, aren't really difference makers when they make it, you know, that is mystifying to me. But, hey, you know what? Maybe he'll surprise us. He still has a good core. Mookie Betts could go off any matchup. His pitching, I know his pitching last year, he was telling me, was like way better than my pitching. Fortunately, it hurts, so it's not looking so hot right now. And that's the problem when you get pitchers who throw hard, right? You know, Tommy John is a pretty common occurrence. Christopher Sanchez was a good pick for him. You know, the manager that he was that made the playoffs, that gave me a hard challenge in 2019 in the finals, he's there, but I would like to see a few more trades or maybe some savvy moves. I thought he had a really good draft. You know, like, I can tell because I do a lot of research before the draft. When I see guys like taking, when I see like league members taking guys that I have high on my list, I'm just like, that guy did their research. And one guy I would say that I was like, damn, he did his research was Tillo. And I will say this, and not to like boost Adam's ego anymore, Adam's another guy where he's I didn't know the league was aware of him. You know what I mean? Like, guys who were, to me, are like super sleepers, and he's taking them high. And I was like, damn, Adam did his research. So the biggest thing in this league, like, it's not even hard. It's like, do your research and you should be able to draft well. You know, he had a good draft. I would say keeping those guys and the injuries, I don't think Tillo's a threat this year.
Yeah, but let's be real. Like, Adam shit, and he just picked those guys back. So whatever.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, who cares? Moving on. Okay, last question before we move on to the week one matchups. Dark horse championship contender. Who do you think? Now, I'll go first. Give you some time to think. You know, save face, whatever. I've been pumping him up, so I don't know if we can say he's a dark horse anymore. I have him high in my power rankings, but I'm still maintaining this. I think Flex. Like, you can't pick you because you're not a dark horse. It's got to be Flex. Like, coming out from Europa champion, it's time for him to win the big prize. He's always been denied. He's never been at this level. I think he makes the jump this year. He's a finalist, could win it all. He's my dark horse pick. Put me down for Flex.
Okay. I know he was, like, considered a dark horse, but I would have gone with him, but just to maybe play devil's advocate, I'll go with, surprisingly enough, to like boost your own ego, but I would go with your team. I think that I think the consensus I've seen from other league members is like maybe you aren't as good as like I think you are, and I'm always like perplexed by that. And I think this is the year you prove me right, because every year I tell you like don't rebuild, don't trade off your roster. Like, I remember last year, like three games in, you were like 1-2 or maybe even 0-3, and you was like sold off everything, and I was like, bro, you have a good team, like, you know, like at some point you want to try and win. And this year I'm seeing like a new Jeremiah, and like you've I think like me, like even like up to like 3 weeks ago, you were like ready to rebuild. And then, you know, you made a few savvy deals and now it's like, you know what? You have a good team that's coming together nicely, and you have a lot of I think your backs are really good. Once you get Holiday up, like your backs are almost like top three in the league. Your pitching, I would say, is a little more shaky, but also, like, you have guys who were really good in 2022, and you bought low on.
Yeah.
So Carlos Rodon, I didn't love. I was like, you know, well, he's getting older. His velocity was down. But you got him for cheap. You got him for basically a prospect and a pick. So I think he was worthwhile. I think apparently he had good stuff his first game, you know. And Tristan McKenzie, I think that – you know, he's only 26. I don't get how a guy who's 26 put up over 400 points in our league in 2022 and, like, somehow because of one injury-prone season, now he's, like, hot trash. And yeah, obviously, yeah, and obviously, you just brought in Framber Valdez. Not even to mention next season, you have two guys on your IL that are probably top 10 pitchers. Like, you have the potential to be a problem this year and like a massive problem next year. So, you know, I'm excited to see how you do. I would say you and Adam, though, are probably the two biggest menaces this year.
Yeah, we got to have it. We got to have an Adam Jerry final. No disrespect, but it's what the league wants.
I'll do my best to make sure that it does not happen, but all the power to you if it does.
Yeah, I mean, if we did a poll, I bet you Adam Jerry, top rated finals audience. But I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, 2025, I'm really excited to get McClanahan and Sandy Alcantara on the team. So looking forward to that. Okay, so let's move into week one. You're kind of standing in for Garth Newton here. I don't know if he's going to like honor your score, but we're going to mark you down anyway, and we'll review you next week because I know you listen to the pod.
So I'll
we'll
make the review you
next week and see how you did. So we'll go through the matchups. You just got you've heard this before. You just pick a winner. You can give a little bit of a reason if you want. You don't have to. You can just start taking whoever. We'll start with your matchup since you're the guest. So you are taking on Graham, big beefy baseball boys. Mm-hmm. You are currently up 41.8 to -5.4 for Graham. Should I mark you down for yourself?
I think that in terms of like starting pitches I have going up this week, I think obviously I'm not healthy, but I think that probably I'm going to win this matchup. So I would go for myself. I'm fairly confident in the I guess free agents I've added to, you know, make a few starts while my other guys get healthy. You know, Graham, obviously, I said he had a good draft, but you know, that negative 25 points does hamper him a little bit. Hopefully I'll beat him by more than 25 points to prove it didn't matter, but yeah, I already have a nice healthy lead on him. I think that it's you know, I never want to start the season 0-1, so I'll take the dub here.
Yeah, I'm not going to get cute with this. I'm going to take you too. The lead is huge. Graham ain't coming back. All right, next matchup. This would have been a barn burner a couple years ago, but we got Flex, Club, Europo, Deflex against Mike, the Illuminati. And right now, Flex is up 25.5 to 19.3. Who you got?
I feel like I have to pick Adam in this one. Unfortunately, Mike, great guy, great owner. Maybe a few years away from competing. Hey, you know what? He has done what I was thinking about doing, which is basically sell up your team and maybe just bring in like younger buy low guys. Obviously, with Nolan Gorman, I think he's actually a really good second baseman. Batty, I think he paid too much. I forget the trade, but like Batty was probably a good ad. Obviously, Volpe was a good trade last year when he got him. So, you know, he has some good young pitching too. But this is not, you know, Destiny does not call Mike this year. This is Adam's year. So I highly doubt Adam would start 0-1 and lose this matchup. So I will go with Adam.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go with Adam too. I don't love it. I think Mike could surprise this week. But yeah, I'll take Adam. Screw it. Why not? Let's move on to my matchup because I'm heated about this. We're gonna chat a little bit about this, but I'm playing Chris, Addicted Gooner. I don't know. Yeah, these team names are terrible. He's up 30.3 over me to 11.3. And I need to know, like, league management, if you listen to this, I need to know why Chris's fine was rescinded. So Chris was fined for picking up DL Hall. Very fucking obvious he's an own prospect. DL Hall's name was apparently misspelled in the sheet. When I looked in the sheet prior to this, it was spelled like DL space Hall. I don't know if there's like dots missing and that counts. Seems like a technicality. And if it's not, like, let's say it was actually misspelled, like there's six letters in this motherfucker's name.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you telling me that he couldn't tell that like DJ or DL Hall was DL fucking Hall? And league management, like, what the fuck is that? How do you misspell a dude's name who's been a prospect for like 5 years?
Like, yeah. You know what? Yeah, I went back and actually I have a few screenshots of my prospect list like from like years ago.
Okay.
So I did notice that when I first got him off Ash, I believe, like maybe like years ago. Or was it off Ash? I don't know. Whoever I got him off of, it was D.L. then Hall. And then I noticed maybe like a year and a half or 2 years ago, it was D.L. Hall. So I'm not sure how it was spelled this year. I think maybe from what Adam or someone else said today, it was maybe just DL with no dots, and they had to add the dots like it is on ESPN.
But why does that matter? Like, why are you telling me Chris couldn't fucking read? Is he an illiterate monkey? Like, what is this?
I think the idea is you can't search for him. Like, you would go to the, you know, the search on Excel, and obviously, like,
that's,
you know,
that's just not true. Like, if you put in Hall, bro, trust me.
Oh, I'm sure Hall.
Like, I've searched him myself.
No, I agree for sure. I think the management could have told us what happened there because it's a little weird. But
dude, it's super sketch. Like, I'm not saying there's collusion here or anything, but it's super fucking sketch that, like, you're gonna tell me that these dots mean that Chris gets a get out of jail free card because he can't search this person. Like, that's not true, man, because I've searched him because I wanted to add him myself. I remember, and I put in Hall. I'm not fucking,
you know, dick lover. Same. I do the same thing. I checked,
and I put in Hall, and he shows up. If Chris is fucking that illiterate that he can't make the connection that DL without the dots is D.L. Hall, like, you don't deserve to be in this league, and you might want to go get your IQ tested.
Yeah, like, what is this? I think it's a little weird. I remember back in 2020 when I was facing Cam and I lost the match because I added an own prospect, I showed him that I was searching for this prospect, and for some reason he would not show up on my phone. Like, I typed in the guy's first name, it wouldn't show up. I typed the guy's last name. For some reason, like, this prospect I added was, like, unsearchable. And they were like, too bad you added this guy, it's your own fault. Too bad you couldn't search for him. You know, maybe it's an even worse technicality with Chris, but I thought that was a little weird too.
Just to me, what I don't like is the lack of consistency. It's a selectively enforced thing where it's like, you know what? Like we're out here busting the raccoon's balls for not stating that fucking Luis Gil was called up, and yet this guy who literally commits an actual infraction doesn't get a penalty. Like, there's just no consistency, man. It just makes no sense. Like, I don't know. Like, it's frustrating. But anyway, we have to make picks. I'm going to take Chris. Who are you going to take?
I think that maybe you're just a bit down because it's, you know, Monday and you're down 20 points. But right. I will go with you. I think that there's no way you're going to lose to Chris. Chris has blown his best pitcher. You will pass him, I would assume, tomorrow and never look back.
Yo, I love this confidence, man. You make me feel better about myself. Thank you.
There you go. You're welcome.
Thank you. Fuck league management. Okay, next matchup. Chateau de Fay versus Tyler's Bomb Squad. Tyler, change your fucking name, bro.
Yeah, come on, bro. It's been at least a month has been in this league, if not longer. Yeah. Like, change your damn name.
Oh, God. Okay, anyway, he's down 20.5 to 18.4. Give me Tyler. His team is better on paper, but I'm not confident in his managerial skills, so I have no idea. I'm just going to take Tyler here in the dark.
I think I'd maybe go with Chow on this one, only because I have yet to see Tyler make any move, let alone a good move. I'm not sure, like, is he like Ash 2.0, like, not going to add Sunday starts, won't max out his starters. I'm not sure. Like, I have to see it to believe it. I know Chow, even he might get 200 points with 9 starts, but he'll still get those 9 starts. So I will go with Chow on that one. Even though I did mention Tyler as my sleeper playoff team, because he does have the roster that is capable of that. I haven't really given a good look at the draft he had. I remember, like, maybe a few picks that I didn't love. But overall, I think, you know, in Ash's will and testament, he left Tyler with a good team. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. Confirming Ash is dead. I like that. The next matchup, the Houston Alliance, currently up on Ian and the Seattle Monstars, 33.2 to 29.8. No one cares about this matchup, so I'm just going to spit out that I'm going to take Jamil in this matchup, and I have no confidence in that pick.
Yeah, I would say I would go with Jamil as well, only because I think his team is a little bit better, and I think he did pretty good with the draft. getting Crochet on the White Sox. I think he got him super late, and he had a good first game, and his advanced stuff looked good. His velocity was good. I think that could be a good sleeper pick. Carey Carpenter, I really like. I think he's probably going to be a good breakout. You know, obviously there's not too much talent. Bryce Miller, I like a lot. He got Yennier Cano, who obviously is from last year. I'm a big fan of his. Royce Lewis being hurt does suck. And, you know, Ian does have probably the better three. Like, he has the best three players compared to Jimmy. If you combine their teams, he still has the best two players. But I'm not sure if he has the rest of what it takes to win this matchup. So I will go with Jamil.
Okay, that was a really confusing way of getting to Jamil, but that's all right. We're going to go with that. Jamil for you. All right, next matchup. The Bash Bros, watching the Raccoons, 31.5 to 0.2. I'm just going to pencil in that we're both on RKR, and you can talk for like 2 minutes about why you like RKR.
Yeah, I think with obviously Young hurt after he had a crazy game today. That's crazy. About 3 for 4, home run, 4 RBIs, 2 runs, a stolen base, and then bam, he's hurt. that does suck for him. You know, I like what the Raccoons are doing. I think they made a few good moves in the offseason. I think, honestly, like, I've been made fun of for like at least a year for my love for Jonathan India. I think he was a good buy low. It's kind of funny because everyone was saying, like, oh, India's going to lose his spot on the in the starting lineup. And, oh, I guess Matt McClain's, you know, got done for at least a few months, if not the season. I guess India's back to being their starting second baseman. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. I think that obviously getting Paxton in the draft is probably a good move. I think Paxton's pretty underrated. He's on probably the best team in baseball. Mackenzie Gore I've always liked a lot. So, yeah, I think that I will go with Richard RKR, but I will say that I think the Raccoons are a little underrated right now.
Okay. Next matchup, we have Nick and Kyle, the men, versus director of the Flexbox Fantasy Baseball Association and Aiden. Nick and Kyle, 51.5. Aiden, 21.1. I'm going to – you know what? This is like my upset special, Ryan. I'm going to take Nick.
I think only because he has 3 starts today and then Aiden has none. I will still go with Aiden. I think he has a better team. Okay. I'm curious how this new partnership – goes for Nick, because I know last year it was a bit of a letdown after he won the championship. I know that you and I don't even, like, you know, talk about him at all this year. So hey, maybe Nick will be the same as he was in 2022 and kind of like sneak up on us and be a good team. You know, we'll see what happens. I don't know. Honestly, if I was him, I think he probably should have traded Altuve a long time ago. He should have got a king's ransom for him.
Altuve, he should have traded DeGrom.
That's what I was going to get to.
Worthless now.
Well, I was going to get to DeGrom. Like, DeGrom 2 years ago would have got him like 4 or 5 top 100 prospects, probably a good young starting pitcher who probably would have been better than DeGrom right now. Like, I think people get in their feelings a bit too much with players. It's just like, oh, I can't trade, you know, this guy. He's been on my team for 5 years now. He's always been fucking amazing. Like, at the end of the day, like, you know, these players have such a short prime unless you are an all-star, like Hall of Famer. And even then, like, you know, it's hit or miss every single year. Nick is an example of a guy who I think could have spread his assets out a bit better. But, you know, he's getting high picks. Maybe his prospect pool is looking a bit better than in years past. But yeah, I think that, like, for this matchup at least, Aiden's got in the bag.
The best news for Nick this year is that him and the Liberals and Trudy are going to get voted out of power, and he's going to have a lot more time for fantasy baseball. All right, next matchup. Ben and the Star Boys currently out to a big lead, 38.7 over Jeffrey Lim and Team 69 with 4 points. I want to take Lim, but I can't do it, so I'm going to take Ben. But I want it to, I want it on the record that I wanted to take Lim.
Yeah, I think I would go with Ben as well. Lim, I've always thought, was like a year away from being a really good team. I think getting Mullins off me last year was a good move. And I honestly, looking at his offense, it's not bad. Honestly, it's probably the best I've seen his offense look in years. What sucks about Lim is I don't think Puker Puck, whatever the fuck his name is, was a good pick that high. I think third overall. I just don't really believe him to be, you know, the top starting pitcher. He was a trash reliever last year. He had so many blow-ups, and like somehow he's gonna be this like six inning amazing starter. Like, there's no way. This guy's trash. I'm not a big fan of him at all.
Okay.
And obviously with Senga and Manoa out, Manoa, that's crazy. Like 2 years ago, you know, Lim had a 24-year-old ace, like a guy who's gonna put up 400 points for the next at least 5 years, 6 years. And it's like, from what he was to what he is now, the fall is probably the worst I've seen, right? Like, if you had Manoa 2 years ago, you wouldn't trade him at all. You know what I mean? Like, I've never seen a pitcher.
It's funny, too, right? Because I would make, like, a fat joke or whatever. But, like, there's fatter guys than him that have been good. It's not even that he's fat. He's just fat.
Yeah, like, it's literally, Bartolo, like,
Colon, big, sexy. Exactly. You know? Like, come on. Like, he just sucks, man. Like, he just can't locate the ball. It gets crushed when he does. I don't know, man. Like, he might just be like Ricky Romero 2.0. Might just be done.
You know, Ricky Romero never even had, like, he had one decent season and not really good strikeouts.
That's what Manoa had, though.
Manoa has a good rookie season as well, though. I don't know. I think that, like, he could still come back this year and prove us wrong. I think that maybe now is the time, if you believe in Manoa, to buy low on him. Maybe not in this league, because I don't think Lim would trade him. But, that fall from grace is, I think, yeah, like, Manoa would have to, like, be released for the Jays and be pitching in, like, South Korea for Lim to drop him. So,
future teammates, Trevor Bauer and Alec Manoa. Yeah. Very exciting.
Dynamic duo at the top of a rotation, some random top country.
Aces.
Yeah. Yes. But,
all right.
Ben, I'll pick Ben. I like his team. I think that maybe his pitching is a bit sus. But, besides that, I think Ben's got it this week.
I don't know if you ever met Ben, but Ben's pretty sus. So that tracks. All right.
All right.
Next matchup. We got two left, my friend. So we have Tillo, fourth quarter Jimmy Buckets. Are up 34.4 over the Squirtle Squad, who have negative 4.2 because they decided not to start Ronel Blanco. All right. That's just, like, such incompetency. I have to go with Tillo. Like, you can't come back from that. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not sure how their starters line up. It seems like they started Ryan Nelson, which
was good
against the Yankees, which is a very weird move. Then, you know, starting
they just hate the Yankees. They let their emotions run their team, so they hate the Yankees. Yeah,
maybe. Yeah, well, didn't really work out for them. Rough first, you know, day of the season, but and you know what? Only because I don't want them to win, I will go with Tillo. Maybe Tillo tomorrow will drop his two minor leaguers on his roster, and will actually add legitimate players. Honestly, like, there was a good left field available like 5 hours ago. Oswaldo Cabrera had a great start to the season. I just picked him up 2 hours ago. He's only 25. He's not much older than Berger. Like, maybe that was the guy to add. You know, that's what you should do if you have roster spots available. It's not hold crap, but you should, like, I remember when I first joined the season, I added, like, anyone who's, like, under 25 in the majors in a starting role when I first joined the league. Like, that's kind of what you have to do when you have spots available. Just see, like, is there anyone with any kind of potential? I think Tillo, you know, maybe now after this good start today, we'll finally realize that, like, having dead weight on your team is not good.
Well, he's not 25 or whatever, but Tillo looks like the kind of guy who would appreciate a good martini. So I think he should go pick up Nick Martini, the left fielder for the Reds, currently available on the wire, having a good start. Free advice, Tillo. You're welcome. All right, last matchup, and it is the Garth Bowl. So we have Garth Newton, 29.5, Garth MacInnis, 2.2. Yeah, I mean, I like Garth MacInnis' team better, like on paper, maybe. Well, Snell and Montgomery are pitching. I take it all back. I'll go with Garth Newton. But when healthy, I like Garth MacInnis' pitching better. Garth Newton for me. Garth Newton for you?
I would say Garth Newton as well. I think that Garth MacInnis has done a good job considering he makes no trades and very few adds and drops. So for him to have this good of a team, it shows that Cam is running his team very well. But I will go with Newton. I swear, I remember last year in the playoffs when I faced Garth MacInnis, then I faced Cam. I was like, oh, great, I got to face Cam twice. So, yeah,
that's two shots for Cam to beat you.
That's what I think, but, you know, it is what it is.
Okay, so this year we're introducing a new element to the picks. Garth Newton doesn't know about this, but he'll learn. So each week we are going to pick one lock of the week, which is a pick that we think is so good and so likely to be correct that we lock it in. Mm-hmm. If you get it correct, you get an extra point or an extra win. If you screw up the pick, you get an extra loss. Mm-hmm. You lose a point, basically. I've thought about adding in, you can only use each team once, but that seems really complicated for now. So we'll just go with, you get to lock in a pick. I'm going to lock in you because I think you're great. And I think that, I forget who you're playing. Graham, not nearly as great. So I'm going to lock in you. You can be boring and lock in you too, if you want. I think you shouldn't be able to pick yourself, but you never know. Who are you going to lock in? Who's your lock of the week?
Just taking a quick look now.
Be super boring.
I don't want to be boring. I want to be a little exciting. I want to pump Adam's tires a little bit too much. I'll lock in Adam against Mike.
Wow. I like that. A bold first pick.
If Mike wins this week, I don't think Adam can show his face at College Weekend, at the league trip. I don't think Adam, like, he has to delete Slack and become a pauper. Like, I just, you know, he can't come in this hyped and then lose against Mike this week. That's just, like, awful. Just terrible.
Okay, well, before we head out for the night, do you have any comments on the tattoo bed? Because I know you shared a photo of Adam getting his I'm going to call it an interesting tattoo. It looks like a child drew it. I don't know if that's the point.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a style of tattoo. I really have no idea. But it looks like a 5-year-old colored it on his leg. How do you, you know, he listens to this, right? So he's going to
be would,
well, whatever. How do you feel about the bet? Do you have any comments about the bet? Anything you need to get off your chest?
Yeah, I think Adam wanted to use my bad luck to get Ohtani. That was, like, the gist of it was that, like, he made me a very poor bet that basically I would win regardless. Just so I was betting against getting Ohtani so that somehow, you know, in his worldview, me wanting something and betting on it, the opposite will happen, even though I just won the championship. Okay. So I'm not sure how bad luck I really am. So yeah, in his view, he made that bet as a sacrifice to get Ohtani. You know, I just thought of it randomly. Like, it just came on top of my head. I was like, you have to get a tattoo that says Toronto Blue Jays 2024 World Series champions. And that was the joke. It's like, you know, like, it hasn't happened yet, so theoretically, like, it is possible. Like, it would have been super lame.
It's not.
No, I'm just saying, theoretically, I'm saying if I got it and put, like, 2020, that would have been even stupider because obviously that's already happened. I wanted to give him something to dream on. Yeah, I just wanted to give something to dream on. I'm like, hey, you know, there's a 2%, 3% chance of this happening. And, yeah, he got it. Like, I don't know. To me, I like it. I definitely feel like maybe the artist who I think he sent me his Instagram, and I was like, you know what, I think he does good work with, like, obscure drawings where, like, he just kind of does drawings by hand. To me, I would have preferred the genuine Jays logo because I do love the Jays logo. But, you know, he went with who he went with. I don't think it looks, like, terrible, but yeah, like, it's not, like, even, if that makes sense. So, I don't know. If I'm going to have something on me the rest of my life, probably would not have gone with that, like, design style. But, you know, Adam has a lot of funky tattoos, and maybe he'll blend in with the rest of them.
So I have a few comments about this, but before we do that, just so the league knows, like, I think the bet was Adam bet that Shohei Ohtani would sign in Toronto, and you bet that he would not.
Yeah.
Obviously, he did not. So, first mistake, why you would ever put faith in Shatkins is beyond me. You couldn't pay me to do that, because they're just complete, utter, incompetent boobs. But, like, I want to go back to this, because our Flex, I believe, has another tattoo. Because he lost to Mike, right? Or was Mike the one that got that tattoo?
He has a tattoo of Mike on his arm.
Yeah. So clearly this man has, like, no fucking regard for his body or, like, any respect for his body. He's totally fine with just putting on whatever the fuck goes on his body. So that's just clearly not it. Like, clearly Flex is so detached from reality that, like, putting some disgustingly embarrassing drawing on his body that's, like, potentially visible just doesn't upset him anymore. It's just not to the feeling. He can't feel his body when he's with his tattoo artist because he doesn't give a fuck. So that's fine. I think people need to, like, figure out a new angle on him because, like, clearly the man will draw a fucking, get a tattoo like a giant dick on his arm and it won't bother him. So, like, come on, people, think of something new. I personally am highly disturbed by such a bet. Like, I would never want to have to tattoo something on my body. I would just never make that bet. But anyway, I don't know what that says about this league, what that says about the people in the league. But anyway, we should wrap, right? Because it's been over an hour and 10. Do you have anything else you want to get off your chest? Because I doubt we'll have you on again this year. For people that are, well, we might. If you win the championship, we will. But for people listening, Newton should be back next week, but I'm also taking apps for a third host. Otherwise, it might just be me, which is, like, super sad. But anyway, anything you need to get off your chest, right?
Well, hopefully I'll be invited on at some point in the season. You know, I do like coming on once in a while. I know deep down you love having me too, so respect. But
definitely not.
You're hilarious. Hilarious. I'm laughing. But anyways, so yeah, I think that, like, it goes back to my comment before. I think that, like, and I think you agreed with me, like, this season feels like the most top heavy we've seen in a long time. And it's always weird because remember, like, I come on this podcast, like, every year early on the season, be like, wow, there's lots of competition. Like, you know, I'm so excited. It's going to be fun. And then the last 2 years, I've lost 3 matchups total. So it's kind of funny that now I'm thinking, like, you know, it's kind of top heavy. A lot of teams are kind of mid. And now it's probably going to be the year where, like, I have rough matchups. I might lose far more than I've lost in the last at least 2 or 3 years. So I'm actually curious how it turns out, because I've been wrong before. And I don't know. I definitely feel like the top teams are accumulating a lot of the best players, but there's still good opportunities for maybe, like, the more average teams either, you know, trade some of their players and get a ton back. Because I think this year is going to be a seller's market for sure when it comes to players. And B is potentially, you know, if what we expect them to, they can make a few trades and actually be competitive. So I'm curious how that shakes out. Because I remember, like, every year there's always a few teams that come out of nowhere. I think that the Raccoons made the playoffs last year, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's crazy how, like, you probably never gave them respect. I think they start off in at a crazy pace. I know they were one of my 2 losses last year. So, you know, anything can happen, man. So I'm excited. Like, I know that, as I've made my comment, I definitely feel like it's a little more top-heavy. But, you know, every year is a new year. Every year has interesting storylines. I'm excited to see how it all plays out.
There you have it, Ryan. He's more concerned about his fantasy team than he is about any of you. That's fantastic. For myself, Johnson. For Ryan,
thanks for having me on, buddy.
Still waiting for his title belt. Absolutely. You will be invited back at some point. Don't ask me when. I don't know. But for all of you out there listening, someone would normally tell you good night and good fantasy. Fuck LM.
Fuck LM.
Good night, everyone.